I wonder this morning, as we look out up over the landscape, how many people this morning could say, I'm ready to die? No wonder the Bible said that he would find faith when he come. He didn't go any farther to say how much that he would find, but he said he would find faith when he comes. But I believe God's people here that we're able to look around us and realize that the number is few. It is small, and it is very small, and it will continue to get smaller as we draw nigher unto that day. I'm like Brother John this morning. I've never learned how to preach the gospel. And I'm sure that God, whenever that he sent that call down, that he knew that we wasn't able either. But I believe, Brother John, that he instilled down in her heart. I tried to run a long time from this. I had no peace of mind. I couldn't find no peace of mind. But listen, one day that I become willing to say, here I am, Lord. I said, whatsoever that you would have me to do, that I'll do. Not realizing at the time that I'd have to stand where I now stand. But listen, this morning I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Greek first, but also to the Jew. That just about takes in the whole world. That if you will believe that he come, that he hung between the heavens and the earth, that he shed that royal blood, not for what he done that was wrong, but it was for what we done, Brother Ronnie, that we found ourselves lost and undone, without hope here. But what we didn't realize at that time, that hope was seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. But listen, this morning, he didn't only make intercession for the saints, but he was the mediator between man and God. We had no other way back than to come through that shed blood on Calvary's cross. Listen, this morning, sometimes I look back and I thank Lord how full hard it was for me to come down and just say, here it is, Lord, like Brother John down by the barn. Listen, today it didn't matter the spot where we bowed down our heads for the last time, but it's what we uttered here I am, Lord, take my life, but save my soul. Listen, in a split moment of time that he took an old creature and he made a new creature in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Listen, this morning, that great load that morning that I carried in the little jewel church house, how did I know, Brother John, that that would be the morning when he would reach down his arm of grace, lifted my feet about of the miry clay. Set them up on a highway of holiness here. Listen today. Brother John said something that people believe you can have it today and lose it tomorrow. But he lifted our feet up out of the miry clay. Where'd he set them upon? Upon the highway of holiness. The vulture's eye had never beheld her, nor the lion's whelp had ever trotted upon her. But oh, who is it that is on that highway today? It is the redeemed of God. And do you believe that he would take you through all of that journey? Then let Satan reach out and snatch you off on that highway. George, you're here this morning. According to the word of God, there's two highways. There's a highway of holiness, and there's a highway of destruction. And I believe that with all my heart this morning. When you're lifted up out of the valley of decision, there ain't but one of those two this morning. You'll either have your feet set down upon that highway of holiness, upon that road of destruction. And as sure as you're here this morning, when you've been put up on it, you're not going to come off of it. Amen. One is as sure as the other one is. If it's upon the highway of destruction, you're already sealed for eternal damnation. We may not look, Brother John, at that valley of decision sometimes and think, be glad this morning that you were in that valley of decision. He said, choose you. Where do you think that come from? Amen. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Amen. There come a time, Brother John, when that godly sorrow set up down in on the inside and begin to draw, Brother Yule, that we had to make a choice somewhere in that travail from nature to grace. Absolutely. Lord, I'll serve you. You lead and guide me. We didn't know as we began to travel. And I used to think that when I'd turn around and we'd make vows to him, Lord, I'll live a different life. And turn right around, Brother Fred, and go right back to the very, as the dog returns to its vomit, so did we so many times. So they must have been somebody still there tugging at our heartstrings, letting us know and feel that we ought to make a change and we ought to turn and go. I admire people, young people, when I see them come into the church and give their hand. It's many of them at a young age, and think how much joy they have in front of them that we didn't have all the baggage that we brought in. It wasn't that they were any more truer, Brother John, or saved any greater than we were. No. But we come in at the 11th hour, and God was still merciful unto us here this morning. Listen today, our lives have been changed. We're not what we used to be. Why? Because there's a stronger man today dwelling down in the heart. And I'm one to believe this morning that we're not kept by our own power, but we're kept by the power of God. If it had been left to us, we'd already would have staggered along here in this life. But but listen today what he done upon Calvary. Not was it only great enough to save us here, but it's great enough to keep us here. Listen, I've never lost 1 minute sleep, Brother John, wondering, am I going to lose it tomorrow? It just ain't that way, Brother Yule. Listen, this man that we served this morning, when he said, thy sins, which are many, I freely forgive. And he has forgiven us. And I'm happier. I was happy the day he saved me. But you know that light just keeps getting a little brighter. As our age, where life here begins to look dim, but there's a light out there that I have my eyes set upon. Upon a city that is called heaven, whose builder and maker is God. No wonder the Bible said, we're just pilgrims on a journey here. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Sometimes we have to call in to question or check our lives here. Children of God, I'm talking about. We begin to reach out and set our sights and our stakes out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Oh, I never forgot old Brother Reuben Webb. He said, you will if it's the Lord's will. You will if it's the Lord's will. Let's never question or say, nothing wrong, Brother Fred, to say, I'll do this tomorrow if it's the Lord's will. And I'm here. I'll do that tomorrow. He ought to be the first thing that comes to our mind when we wake up of a morning. He ought to be the last thing on our mind when we lay down at night and look toward heaven and say, Lord, if it's your will to bless me to see the light of another day, bless me, God, to be able to hold the blood-stained banner of your Son before a lost and dying world here. Listen today, people. It's more lost today. It's more dying today. Than it's ever been in the history of time. And tomorrow will be a little worse than today is. Why? Because we're getting closer to that day of redemption when he's going to call and that trump's going to sound. But we're not going to sleep. Dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that sleep will come with him on a cloud of glory. And for those that are left behind, we'll be changed. I'm amazed. I said something last weekend, but I'm amazed. As you all have heard the locusts, the cicadas, just a constant roar. But I want you to think about 17 years ago, they went it back into the heart of the earth. They've laid there for 17 years. Then all of a sudden, this larva comes back to the surface. And he grows wings. I've heard that in like 3 to 4 to 5 hours, they grow a full wing span. And they stay about 3 weeks here, about another week. They're going to cease to be, and they're going to go back in to the heart of the earth again. Did you ever think of the resurrection? Did you ever think of us? They're going to lay us out here in the heart of the earth, Brother Ronnie, but we're not going to sleep forever. Oh, we're going to be raised in the likeness of the man that saved your soul. Amen. But the good part about us is it ain't going to be for 17 years. It's going to be forever and forever. I don't understand it all here, and I know that I never will. But I understand enough to know that heaven is out there waiting upon everyone that has been down to the banquet house of mercy and had the robes washed in the blood of Jesus. Listen, he told Abraham that his offspring would be as the sand of the seashores. In your mind this morning, if you could just walk out and just scoop up a double handful of sand, how many little pieces would they be there? But he said the sands of the seashore, as the stars of heaven, walk out some night and look up and try to begin to count. You can't even begin to fathom the numbers there. But that's the way it'll be, brother Fred, with God's people. You may say, well, is heaven going to be big enough to hold them all? Every one of them, Brother Ronnie. Every one of them. There'll not be a one that they won't have room for him to have a dwelling place. I guess maybe by trade that I should have been an astronomer. I'm the most fascinated person on earth, I believe. When I go out and look up into the heavens and see, Brother Ewell, what I be seeing, what I behold with these natural eyes that he's given me. And to think we're not even looking out of the range of this one galaxy that our planetary system is in. Can you imagine something with no end to it? Can you imagine something with no end to numbers of planets that is in the universe? I can't fathom that. I don't even try to. I just get to the place to say, Lord, someday, farther along, we're going to know all about it. Farther along, we're going to understand why. But it'll not be while we're here. It'll be after we have waked in His likeness. Then we're going to be able to reveal and see the full glory of God and what awaits for those that love and serve Him. I'm willing to wait and to have patience. There's a great sermon in itself in the Scriptures on patience. Patience. That's what God's people need to have, is patience. While we walk here, while we travel here, I don't know how the rest of you feel. I sometimes get to the place, Brother Ronnie, I wouldn't turn my hand, whether I stay or whether I go. Because if I stay till I'm 100 years old, my life will still have be like a bubble up on the water, or like a snowflake that falls from heaven. I talked, you know, it's strange sometimes how our conversation with people will be. I talked to a young lady yesterday that come to look at a house that I've got for sale, and the Lord just blessed me. I had to quote a few scriptures, and I seen the tears start down her cheeks, and she just boo-hooed, and she looked at me and she said, I've got to go sit in the truck. She said, I can't contain my emotions. She said, just talk to my husband. And I thought, Lord, if what I said to her has hit something that has wretched her, or something that should have been said, it ain't because that we stand here in this pulpit this morning. Our job, Brother Ronnie, goes outside of the pulpit here. But every conversation that you have with a person, that's something that may come. And you don't have to be a preacher to do that. Something that you may say may completely turn around the life of some lost man or woman or some lost boy or girl this morning. But God knows what needs to be and when it needs to be said and who it needs to be said to. That's just the way it is. And I don't want to change that. I want it to be His will and His way of what we do, when we do it, and how we do it.